Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is All Things Considered on 90.9 WBUR. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. As most of the students in the Boston Public Schools return to class today, Superintendent Carol Johnson is starting her sixth year as head of the system, and she goes into it facing the toughest criticism of her tenure. She's been praised for raising graduation rates and test scores, but lately her missteps have overshadowed her accomplishments. So we recently spent part of a day with the superintendent to get a sense of her frame of mind and to talk about doubts about her leadership. We start at school department headquarters at a morning meeting of the system's new principals and headmasters.
Well, I think I have met all of you, but why don't we go around the room and just introduce and say what school you're in.
As Johnson welcomes them, she acknowledges some of the public dissatisfaction plaguing the Boston Public Schools.
We are a system that's not perfect, but we are working really hard this year to make transportation perfect.
That's a reference to chronically late school buses. Then there are the stalled teacher contract talks, an abandoned plan to relocate a school, and the controversial closings of others. Key city leaders, like the mayor, still support Johnson, but a city councilor and a group of parents want her out. They say the final straw was when she failed to discipline a headmaster arrested for punching and choking his wife. Those all may be factors in why Johnson remembers her days as a lower-level administrator so fondly.
I was a school principal, still probably my most favorite job, because you're right there close to the kids all the time. And that's why it's more fun than being superintendent, I guess I should say.
After Johnson's meeting with the new principals, we leave downtown Boston and drive into the district.
What's the plan now? We're going to go to a school.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's our first step.
Grab stuff.
With Johnson behind the wheel and her spokesman Matt Wilder riding along, we head to the old Agassiz School in Jamaica Plain, which had been labeled underperforming by the state.
And there was a question about whether we could quickly turn things around. And we decided that we would just close.
Start from scratch, essentially.
Start from scratch. Mm-hmm.
But the building is now reopening as two schools, a K-8 and a dual language school for ninth graders. A dozen underperforming Boston schools are being overhauled, some with modest changes and others, like the old Agassiz, with drastic ones. Johnson wants to check on the renovations, and on the way there, I ask her if she feels that the public criticism of her has been fair.
Well, I try to be very honest with myself about the things that we need to improve. Students need to arrive at school on time. We have to own the fact that that didn't happen last year and fix it. When you make a mistake in judgment, you have an obligation to review the procedures that you have in place, make changes. I don't know any large urban school superintendent in America that hasn't been criticized publicly, that hasn't made mistakes. Sometimes the criticism gets mixed with politics, and so you just have to discern when it is fair and make sure that you respond appropriately.
I also asked Johnson how she would defend some of her unpopular ideas that were later abandoned, like a proposal to move Boston Latin Academy from Dorchester to Hyde Park.
We're going to come up with some options that people think are great and other people think are terrible. I think we shouldn't necessarily say, well, we can't put anything out there because people might be offended by it.
I think for people who've been critical of you, they feel like it's become this collection of about faces.
Yes, but I do feel like if we never put something out, listened to the community and made changes, we'd be criticized for never ever changing our mind that everything is fixed in stone and that we're not willing to listen.
And where was the wall before?
Right there.
Oh, so you open that
so
all the way up.
So we open it up so that when you walk in the lobby, you get light from the outside wall.
The Agassiz School, near Forest Hills, used to have a gloomy interior. But in the past few months, crews have brightened it up, installed air conditioning, Wi-Fi, and Corian countertops, and repainted from a pink that many parents said they hated to shades of cream and cranberry and fern green that the families themselves picked.
When parents come in, we want our facilities to look like places that they would choose for their children. I mean, we want every school to look attractive in that way.
What do you see upstairs?
Okay, I can't wait. Beautiful.
Johnson also uses the visit to Glad Hand, greeting school administrators and construction crews, and praising them for the work they've done in just a few months.
Thank you all so much for your help. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Next stop, UP Academy in South Boston, a charter school housed in the former Gavin Middle School. Before we go inside, we sit in Johnson's car and talk about the incident that has led to calls for her resignation, her decision to not fire or even suspend a headmaster after he assaulted his wife. Johnson has since apologized and says she should have acted more aggressively rather than rely on Rodney Peterson's word that his wife didn't intend to press charges.
Do you feel like you failed personally in some way there?
This was a learning experience for me, no doubt. I think that those of us who work in public education tend to be trusting of people. I think the lessons learned have to do with feeling sometimes taken advantage of.
Can I interpret that to mean you feel that you were taken advantage of by Rodney Peterson?
I think so, because I trusted what he said. But the larger lesson is that we need to have a set of procedures in place that we act on every time consistently.
Before the Peterson incident, the Boston Public Schools didn't have guidelines for how to deal with employees arrested outside of school. It now does. Employees facing allegations of serious misconduct are placed on administrative leave and investigated. But why would a longtime school administrator like Johnson need a formal policy to guide her in this kind of case?
I personally have just not had a lot of experience with incidents that happen outside of school. A lot of experience with things that happen in school. When something happens for someone outside of school, it was just very different. But now we have a set of procedures in place.
On our way into UP Academy, we run into a woman and a girl coming out.
Hello, good morning. How are you? How are you? Are you trying to register your child in school?
Well, she's registered.
Susan Achardo of South Boston explains that her 12-year-old niece, Rachel Lewis, is number 66 on UP Academy's wait list for 7th grade. This is a downside of Boston's lottery approach to assigning students to schools. Kids often don't get into their school of choice. And while it's good news that enrollment numbers are up in the Boston public system, that means many students are stuck on wait lists.
Okay, are you on any other waiting list?
Several, Attardo explains, but the only school so far that's offered her niece a seat is the McCormick in Dorchester, which wasn't even on her wish list.
So I'm a little
upset
about that.
Have you been over to visit to McCormick?
No, but I know a few lunch mothers, and they didn't have anything positive to say.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we do have a new principal at the McCormick. We also have a new grant at the McCormick.
Johnson gives her best sales pitch, but Attardo, who may not have realized she was talking with the superintendent of schools, is still skeptical. So Johnson takes her number and promises to look into her niece's waitlist problem. The complicated school assignment process is one of the many challenges of running a system with 57,000 students and 128 schools. Inside UP Academy, which started classes last week, the principal, Amanda Gardner, takes us on a tour.
So this is 7th grade English class.
So I want you to do now is...
As we watch, Johnson turns to me and points out something unique at this charter school.
She will leave this class and another teacher will come in and teach these kids.
So rather than kids changing rooms, the teachers change rooms and the kids stay put. Johnson asked the principal about this approach.
You know, in a lot of schools, a lot of time is lost in passing periods and that sort of thing from class to class. So here our students stay with their homerooms for most of the day, and then we have breaks and other downtime built in.
Before Johnson and I head our separate ways, I come back to the Rodney Peterson issue, because that's the misstep that got her critics calling for her head. She didn't just fail to discipline him, they point out. She also wrote a supportive letter about him to the judge who sentenced him. I asked Johnson if that showed a basic lapse in her leadership. And then we wait in silence for 35 seconds. When Johnson finally answers, she returns to her mantra about establishing protocols.
I think what we've done is we've reviewed the procedures that were available to us and those that weren't in place.
Later, by phone, I asked Johnson's spokesman, Matt Wilder, what he made of that lengthy silence. He says she was just carefully composing her words. She's admitted she made a mistake, he says, and doesn't want to dwell on it. And, he adds, with all due respect, she's not going to let the media or anyone else distract her from her core work. And that was the mind frame I sensed in Superintendent Carol Johnson this new school year. Chastened, but determined not to be hounded out of her job by critics who don't believe, as she does, that leaders can err, learn from their errors, and still lead effectively. There is one bright spot on the horizon for Superintendent Carol Johnson. The school department and the city teachers union both say they're hopeful that this weekend they'll resolve their 2-year-long contract dispute.